He made his way quietly across the great courtyard. Taking his position next to the others, he smoothed his tunic and squinted his eyes against the glare of the sunlight that gleamed off the eastern gate. Just beyond it, thousands upon thousands were waiting. Those few who stood beside him felt the same anxiety that he felt. But it wasn't because of the coming crowds. Every year, in fact, actually twice a year, he hoped for this very moment. He had prayed for it to come. Several times before he had come so close, he could feel his heart beating in his chest. He struggled to contain his emotions. And then, at exactly 9 a.m., a trumpet pierced the stillness with three short blasts. At that exact moment, 20 priests moved into position, placing their shoulders against massive doors, and began to push them open. Josephus records that there were 9 gates in all that allowed access to the temple grounds. 8 of those gates had doors 40 cubits high, that's 60 feet tall, and they were covered in gold. But the doors of the eastern gate, the gate called Beautiful, was covered in polished Corinthian brass. It was a massive gate with huge double doors, 50 cubits high, 75 feet tall. And it took the strength of 20 men to open each of those doors. Thousands of people began streaming through those gates as the priests pushed them open. They came from all over Jerusalem, pouring into the temple grounds, spreading out across each of the courtyards. Gentiles were only allowed in the outer courts behind the rails. Women were only allowed in their court in the front. Men could enter the level within the colonnade. And from where he stood behind the door, he could watch as thousands climbed those marble steps that lay just beyond the entrance. They weren't just any steps. They were 5 feet deep, over 50 feet wide, layer upon layer, rising toward that great entrance, 15 steps in all. Had they been able to speak, the stories they would have told would have kept you for hours. The council of the 23 had met on those steps. Kings had been crowned as they stood on those stairs before those great doors. Even miracles would be wrought. He didn't know it then, but it would be on those very steps just a few years from now that Peter and John would see a lame man lying. And Peter would speak those immortal words, "Silver and gold have I none." As he stood there, waiting, he thought back over the events of the morning. He and 49 others had been roused from sleep at the sound of a single trumpet blast announcing the fourth watch. At 3 a.m. The rites of purification had required each of them to rise early and bathe themselves by immersion in the special pool filled with water. And then they had dressed in the tunics they wore now, made of fine white linen, each woven as one piece of fabric with no seams. After the cleansing, lots had been chosen, like drawing straws, but more likely it was seeds from a very small box to determine who would work on the temple grounds. All those who were not chosen at the first drawing of the lots then had to wait for the second sound of the shofar at 6 a.m. Then another drawing was held. During that drawing of the second lot, priests were chosen and each assigned specific duties. Some were chosen to prepare the morning sacrifice, which was the sacrificing of a lamb, or preparing the holy place, which was the outer sanctuary in the temple itself, for the morning service. He, along with those who were standing with him now, had been chosen to prepare the temple. They had cleaned and polished the golden lampstand. They had replaced the burnt wicks and filled each vessel on the lampstand with oil. They had removed the ashes and cleaned the altar, that golden altar of incense. But once the sanctuary was prepared, the command had been given and the shofar had sounded once more. Those huge outer gates of the temple had been slowly opened so that the people of Jerusalem could come inside and begin to worship, and the great doors of the temple itself had been opened so that the outer sanctuary was accessible. Zechariah had been 30 years old when he had first come to serve in Jerusalem. Now he was almost 50. For as long as he could remember, he had only desired two things. He had prayed for a moment like this, and he had prayed for a son. But the odds had always been stacked against him. At that time in Israel, 18,000 priests served, Levites from all over the country, divided into 24 divisions of 750 each. And then twice a year, each division was required to come and serve in the temple for 2 weeks. His division, the division of Abiah, was the eighth in the rotation. And then when he and his kinsmen arrived, they were divided again into seven smaller groups, with each group assigned to only serve for one single day. To make matters worse, only one priest could be chosen on that day. And they could only be chosen on the third watch. And they could only be chosen once in their lifetimes to do what he wished to do so badly. Zechariah watched now as the high priest stepped out of the shadow of the eastern gate and began to make his way across the great courtyard. In his hands he held a tiny box. In that box were just a few seeds, just enough for the men who now stood on the temple steps. And in that box, there was one seed that was a different color. There are two altars that one must pass as they leave the eastern gate and move towards and into the inner sanctuary. First, there is an altar of brass, called the altar of burnt offering. It's 5 cubits by 5 cubits square, 7.5 feet by 7.5 feet, covered in solid brass with great horns extending from all four corners. As the high priest walked past that altar of sacrifice, fire raged from within it. The lamb of the morning sacrifice was being consumed by that roaring fire. And smoke was billowing up towards the heavens. You have to understand, no one who was within the temple grounds that I showed you earlier could pass the point of the altar of sacrifice. Not even a priest could pass beyond that point unless he was in service at his particular time in the temple. Not even the king of Israel could pass that point. No one but those that were called to service on that particular day and the high priest himself could pass that point. But there was another altar inside the inner sanctuary. The altar of incense, which stands within the holy place. It was made of acacia wood and covered in pure gold. Every day, twice a day, before the morning sacrifice and before the evening sacrifice, the priests cleansed it, polished it, and prepared it. The high priest stood before that small group of men now, those who had never been selected before. The crowd of thousands upon thousands went silent. The time had come for the third and final drawing of the lots. Whoever was chosen today, for them it would be the only time in their lives that they would ever be so close to the presence of the Holy One of Israel. For with the exception of the high priest who burned the afternoon offering of incense before entering the Holy of Holies once a year on the Day of Atonement at the Feast of Yom Kippur, no other priest could come even close to the presence of God like the one chosen for this event. Their opportunity to offer the prayers of the people in the burning of sacred incense at the entrance to the Holy of Holies at the morning or evening sacrifice. The high priest opened that little box. A young priest stepped forward and drew a seed. Each one of those there stepped forward one after the other and took a seed, holding it within their hands. And then in unison together, they turned their palms upright and opened their hands. Zechariah looked down, and lit by that morning sun, he saw that for the first time in all those years, and the only time, he held the colored seed. Tears welled in his eyes. Joy filled his heart. After so many years of waiting, finally, today was the day. He would be the one to step inside the holy place where the golden altar stood just outside the Holy of Holies, and for a few moments, he alone would pray with God. Stand with me for the reading of God's Word. Our text is found in Luke chapter 1. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abiah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Now, while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." And the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple. And he kept making signs to them and remained mute. And when his time of service was ended, he went to his home. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a wonder you are. We marvel at your mercy, and we praise your holy name. You who are the great I am. You who are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You who loved us before you created us and then gave yourself for us. Lord, I ask you this morning to open our eyes to see you in a whole new way. Open our ears to hear what you would have us hear, and open our hearts to receive the message that the Holy Spirit has laid on my heart. Lord, I ask you this morning to take a coal from off the altar and touch my lips. Purify this unworthy vessel. Cleanse me, Lord, for I am unworthy. I ask you now, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, because you and you alone are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Zechariah and the lone priest that was assigned to go with him turned now and slowly began to climb up the temple steps. Tens upon tens of thousands of men, women, and children from all over Jerusalem were packed into those temple grounds. And yet, not a single sound could be heard save the crackling of the fire that roared, consuming the sacrifice. Burning coals had been taken from off the altar, that altar of sacrifice, and had been placed in a golden vessel. Sacred incense, a mixture of salt and perfumes, used only for this purpose, had been spooned into a golden censer. And high above the entire spectacle, on a balcony above them, one of Asaph's descendants raised a shofar to his lips. Zechariah stepped through the doors of the temple, and he entered the holy place. 30 feet wide, 60 feet long. Beyond it, separated by the veil, the Holy of Holies, 30 feet by 30 feet square. He paused near the showbread. He waited for just a moment, taking in the sight, that veil, 30 feet high, 40 feet long, but because of the way it hung, hanging in a 30-foot space, the thickness of a man's hand in width, that veil separating the holy place from the most holy place, where the Ark of the Testimony dwelt. That accompanying priest carried the live coals off the altar of sacrifice. He took those coals and he placed them carefully with tongs into the altar of incense. That altar was also square. It had four horns as well on each corner. A golden fence ran between each of the horns. The entire structure was made of acacia wood and covered in pure gold. That priest handed the golden censer containing the incense and the golden spoon to Zechariah. And then that priest bowed before the curtain. And then he dropped to his knees and prostrated himself face down before the most holy place. At that moment, the high priest who was standing at the door to the temple gave the signal. Every other priest who had been attending within the temple itself now bowed. The priest that was on the floor raised himself and backed slowly out of the temple through the doors. And they left Zechariah alone in the holy place. Suddenly, as the doors closed, for the first and only time, Zechariah was alone with Almighty God. Luke says Zechariah was righteous before God. He had prayed and he had longed for this day. He had served in the temple year after year, hoping against hope to be at this place sometime before he retired. But God had chosen this day. It was God's perfect time. And Zechariah was right exactly where he needed to be. He had wanted to be there often before. In fact, if you'd have given him the opportunity, he would have taken it at any time spanning those 20 years. But God had a purpose for this day. The room was silent, gorgeous, covered in tapestries, carved in beautiful woods. Outside, those thousands upon thousands of people stood in absolute silence, waiting. Zechariah took that golden spoon, dipped it into that golden censer, and poured incense on the altar. The temple was filled with the smoke, and the prayers of the people rose to the nostrils of God. It was an amazing moment. Every priest that served, out of all those thousands of priests, longed for this moment, and today Zechariah's time had come. As he stood there, enveloped in the fragrance and the smoke, standing before the veil, suddenly an angel stood before him. It stunned him. He quaked. He was filled with fear. The angel speaks, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. Zechariah didn't know what to think. And then he questions the promise that has been given. His uncertainty is obvious in his response to the words of the angel. How shall I know this? It's interesting to note, if you just read on in this passage in Luke, just a few verses later, this angel appears to Mary. She asks the question too. He's just told her that she will bear a son whose name will be Jesus. And she says, how can this be, for I'm a virgin? Don't be confused when you read it. There's a difference between the two questions. One comes from wonder at the circumstance because she is a virgin. Zechariah's question comes because he's requesting proof. And he says, how shall I know? The angel answers in verse 20, I am Gabriel and I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you, and behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time. Instantly, he was mute. Time passed. Luke records that those thousands upon thousands of people begin to wonder outside. They were worried as to the priest's well-being because he tarried in the temple. I can't tell you why it took so long. Why it took so long for him to come out. But I have an idea why. I think he was overwhelmed as he stood there. Overwhelmed by the presence of Almighty God. As he stood just inches away from the Holy of Holies. Mute, unable to speak, but standing there in the presence of the Holy One of Israel. Not Gabriel. God himself on the other side of the curtain. The One. The Holy One, the One who had delivered the Israelites from the hands of the Egyptians, the One who had parted the Red Sea for Moses, the One who had made the walls of Jericho fall flat, the One who had made the sun stand still for Joshua, the One who had shut the lion's mouths for Daniel, the One who had refused to let the fiery furnace consume the three Hebrew children. The One who had promised 400 years before that the messenger would come. God had been silent for 400 years. From Malachi till now, no word had been spoken. But today, God had spoken. And Zechariah listened. Yes, he had questioned, but it was only for a moment. Now no sound could come from his lips. But I think as he stood there, contemplating all that had happened, suddenly within his heart, he believed. And it changed him forever. He walked out of that holy place, out of the temple itself, absolutely convinced that God was in control of everything within his life. For 9 months, he couldn't speak. He finished his duties in the temple, and then he went home, and he watched, and he waited, and he prayed, and he believed. What a work God had done in his heart that morning. Oh, how God wants us to trust Him, just like Zechariah did. Everything that we have hoped for, everything that we have longed for, everything that we have prayed for. Sometimes for us, it seems just like it did for Zechariah. Everything seems out of reach. It doesn't matter what it is, our lives, our jobs, our marriage, our kids. I'll encourage you today, hold on, trust, and believe. That's what God wants. He wants us to trust Him. 9 months passed. 9 months of quiet. 9 months of listening. 9 months of waiting on the Lord. And then just as the angel had spoken that morning, Elizabeth gave birth to a little baby boy. The neighbors started calling him Zechariah. Elizabeth insisted, no, he must be called John. The neighbors from around the countryside began to argue with her. Finally, they asked Zechariah, can you imagine how hard it was for him? He was mute, but he wasn't deaf. Sitting there knowing what the angel had said to him, he asked for a tablet, and then he wrote it down. His name is John. Verse 67 of the passage in Luke says, and he, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he prophesied. I can see him get up, walk across the room, and lift that little boy in his arms up over his head. That little boy that just in a few years' time would be the first person in all the world to stand and point his finger and say, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the whole world. The child he had prayed for, the child that Elizabeth had prayed for, the child that God had given them, when it looked impossible, he held in his arms and lifted him before the Lord. And then he looks towards heaven and he begins to sing, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. The oath that he swore to our father Abraham to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. Not only was his voice restored, but his soul was overjoyed by the knowledge of just how great the Holy One of Israel is. He sings of the horn of salvation and the power of that saving purpose. He sings of how God spoke by the mouth of his prophets down through the ages. In the Old Testament, it's recorded within the prophets over 400 times that the prophets speak of his birth, his death, his life, and his resurrection. Zechariah sings of God's amazing deliverance from all our enemies, not just the nations that are holding the Israel captive, but of mankind's greatest enemies, sin and death and hell. He sings of the mercy promised to our fathers and how God would always remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to Abraham to grant us that we might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness all our days. And then he prophesies concerning his son. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. And you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in the darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. Think about it. Light in the darkness, peace instead of fear, joy instead of despair, holiness and righteousness instead of sin and death. The sunrise of heaven was rising. My goodness. The dawn of the ages was breaking. The Savior long promised was coming, and Zechariah believed. They had sought the Lord for years, and God had answered their prayer. They just wanted a little boy to love and cherish, and God had chosen their son to be the messenger that would herald the coming of His Son to all the world. They had asked for a child, a little baby that they could hold in their arms as he cried, and God gave them one that would cry in the wilderness, "Behold, the Son of God is coming." God's plan was fulfilled. His promise had been completed just as the prophets had foretold. Think of how many times over those 20 years Zechariah had read it. Stood in the synagogue in the little village where he and Elizabeth lived. He would open up the scroll of Isaiah and read from the 40th chapter, "A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." Zechariah had no idea when he entered the temple that day. As he stood before the veil, as he sprinkled the incense on that golden altar, and the smoke began to rise, as he offered the prayers of the people, that God would speak to him. He had no idea that by faithfully doing God's will, day after day after day, all through his life, that he himself had been chosen to participate in the redemptive plan of God. God's redemptive plan to save the entire world from sin. He and Elizabeth were just like you and I, part of God's plan. And that unborn son was already part of God's plan. Zechariah believed that day. You see, the name Zechariah means God remembers. And God did. He always does. He remembers his people. He remembers you and me. And he remembers his promises. And he will always do what he says he will do. Let's bow our heads.